I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
TMS happens entirely because of the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Spaghetti Syntax, Getty Brigham, and Robert Graham. Coming up on the morning stream, I'd use bunny ears, but it upsets the rabbits.
Life after Dookie.
When I was 17, I made a Chi-Chi t-shirt.
I don't like to miss TV when I pee.
Brian Splaining Fish.
Name another guy from Dire Straits. You can't.
Mark Knopfler runs Bottertown.
The sleeper must awaken.
That's where my legs go.
Putting hair on George.
Trivia for Cartwright for...
Dunfitty.
Moi d'Alarm.
I want my MTV.
There is no game, only Zool. With Dan and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm gonna ride you, little Danny Joe, so hard you wish you were all dead. I'm gonna chew you up, spit you out, take a big dump on top of that, and then I'm gonna get tough. Let's ram him up!
You have a birthmark on your butt the shape of a Honda key.
The Morning Stream smells like apple pie.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, and good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too.
We must celebrate by playing two things simultaneously. This this.
Let's party.
Hits like the old lady and the young people. At the same time, we're going to wish Brian Dunaway a happy birthday today.
Yay! Oh, hi, Brian Dunaway, and happy birthday.
Yeah, and then no you, and then he hangs up. That's how it works.
Wait, what?
What?
Wait, what?
He's celebrating his birthday. I honestly don't know the exact age of Brian Dunaway. It's always been a mystery to me. He's not much younger than me. And
yeah, I think he's right around the same age as two of us.
Yeah, a couple years maybe.
Early 50s.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. And we're proud of him. We think the world of him, and we hope his day is full of joy and presents, and I don't know what else.
And cake.
Yeah, video game, the retro video game things, stuff like that.
I wish it was the day we were doing a game with him, because it's, you know, right in the middle. Today's the filling, the double stuff in the Oreo cookie of games with Dunaway at the top of the show.
So, yeah, he screwed up by doing it today. Yeah. It's his fault. Yeah. Or it's his mom's fault, or his mom and dad's fault for when they did, you know, when they had the sex.
When they did the deed.
Yeah. When Pedro went down to Virginia, if you know what I'm saying.
I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Hey, quick note here. We got to remind folks, we did a pre-show for pre-show people. We're going to do it again. If you were planning on coming to TMS, Viva TMS Vegas at the end of April, early part of May, and you were just kind of putting it off, thinking, oh, well, I'll get around to it. There'll always be tickets. There are 18 left. That's it.
There won't always be tickets. Yeah.
No. And when those are gone, they're literally gone.
That's right. VivaTMSVegas.com for all your Vegas-y, TMS Vegas-y information. Scroll down to the very bottom of the page and you'll find the ticket link.
Yep.
Don't forget to get your hotel rooms too, folks. I think the deadline for that, what is the deadline for that? I don't have my, I did a whole little changeover thing. I got an IKEA SCADIS, another SCADIS board, which is my third one.
I don't know what that
it's
is.
The pegboard. It's the pegboard with the little, okay. the little kind of vertical hole slot looking things.
Sure.
And I made the mistake. So I set it up this morning. I was like, oh, look, there we go. It's all hooked up. And I've got little things that hold game controllers. So I have them on the wall and, mm-hmm. and calendar and things like that. I forgot to push. So I had to pull the table away from the wall to get those things in there. I forgot to push it back all the way against the wall. And this is only a problem because my standing and sitting desk is pretty close to the edge of this table. And if that table is over, as it was, when I go to raise my sitting desk up to standing level, it starts trying to lift that table as well and like flip the...
yeah, you don't want that.
I'm like thinking, oh my God, what's this going to do to the motor? What's this going to do to that? Crap, what's going to happen here? Fortunately, I was able to hit stop on the standing desk before it got too bad and get things pushed over.
But. So are you okay? So I have a standing desk that that I use for guests when they're in here, like Carter and Kim, but also I use it for just stuff to have over here.
Yeah,
and I can raise it and lower it. It has the controls. They're touchscreen controls, like not touchscreen, but touch controls.
Touch. That's one I have too. Yeah, little touch panel controls.
Yeah, and it's like on top of the thing. And they're
mine's on the side.
Okay, that's the way to do it. You got the proper one. The one having them on top is a pain because if I set something on there, suddenly my table's going. Brrr, I'm like, who's doing this? And it's toggleable. So it's not. I lift off what was pushing it and it stops. I have to find the button to turn it off, or to make it go the other direction. And it blends in because it's all dark and black like the surface. It's meant to be kind of hard to see. But when I'm in a panic because the thing's rising too much and starting to knock things over, I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, where's the button? Yeah, no, it's on the front, which brings up its own problems, though, because that's where my legs go. I sit, and I need to probably redo my desk at some point, but I sit on the right edge of my desk. If I sat more towards the middle, it would solve a few problems. I'd have to unscrew and reconnect microphone arms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To be able to put monitors in front of me. But so I've got my big monitor here, a second monitor here, a third monitor there.
Right.
And the PC and then the two Mac monitors. And there would have to be, I think I'd have to move this one to the middle and then have a monitor to the right and then the other monitor to the left and be looking more at the middle of three as opposed to the right than the furthest right of three. I don't know. It'd be, you know what? I'd love doing it because I think it would be a fun change and it would definitely solve the problem of this thing hitting my leg, the little panel. Mm-hmm. I'm not in any danger of hitting the buttons when that thing is on my leg, but it does mean that I have to have the table up a little bit higher than I'd like to because that panel would be right in my leg if I had it as long as I wanted it to be.
Right. Yeah, that's fun sometimes going and redoing that stuff, though. I should do that. Yeah, there's a bunch of things I should change just to kind of freshen it up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There's no other reason for me to be at this end of the desk when I could be in the middle.
We'll check back in on your project.
We'll report back. Yeah, that'll be. I don't see that happening before TMS Vegas. My God, there is so much stuff to do before TMS Vegas.
Yeah, we don't have time for no desk rearranging before then. Yeah. But get your tickets. They're available now up at TMSVegas.com. All the other details are there. And don't be shy if you want to come to Vegas and hang out with us. We are so easy and nice. Like,
oh yeah,
this is not a high pressure social event, guys. This is like a. We're all friends here. Everyone's friendly. Everyone's nice. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We got a text that I need to answer. I've got this a ton since the Super Bowl. One I pulled out, but I've gotten, I don't know, 100 of these. Mm-hmm. No kidding. Like literally like 100 plus of these who say, okay. Why don't I just use bunny ears? Every time there's like a live thing like Oscars or Super Bowl or something like that.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And most of this was Oscars related because I think that's where I brought it up. But because we had to, you know, we found a Twitch stream that was illegally streaming it or whatever. Anyway, they all want to know why I don't do the bunny ears / you know, antenna thing. Here's the way this one reads. It says, you mentioned every once in a while about not being able to watch terrestrial television. Why don't you just get an antenna for your TV? Yeah, you most likely will not use it much. But when the Oscars are on, you can watch it. If you choose, or whatever shows you talk about, or say, that you talk about, but say you can't watch without another subscription to pay for. Antennas are relatively cheap. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I just don't know why I don't want to do that. I never, you know what? It's because I grew up with this. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I grew up with going, oh my gosh, my dad would say.
Time phase, like TV where you had to watch it at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd
yeah.
have to go adjust the damn antenna all the time. Like pre-cable. Oh, no, pre-cable no. I did.
Oh, well, pre-cable. No, these aren't like the bunny ears is totally a different kind of thing. Now it's like this little flat disc or a little card, basically, that you just put somewhere close to a window if you can, or somewhere where it can get enough of a signal outside, and your TV does the rest. Your TV, you basically plug that in, and your TV says, oh, I found an HD antenna, blah, 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 and it finds all of those channels. So then you can say, okay, great. Show me the local NBC affiliate. Show me the local CBS affiliate.
I should just do it just so it's there in case I need it.
It is so set it and forget it. We did it for a while, but it's like, I'm kind of happier now. We've got the Hulu TV package because it still is cheaper because it includes Max and Disney Plus. I guess it includes Disney Plus and a few other things, Discovery or ESPN, which we don't care about. Mm. But it's still cheaper than what we were doing anyway with just Hulu and what the heck, DirecTV, ATT. Yeah, it was DirecTV Now. Yeah, anyway,
basic cable, basically.
It's cheap. it's still cheaper than stupid cable. I guess that's the bar that we're kind of looking at. Is like, all right, are we still under what we were paying for our cable? Okay, good. Then we're still doing okay.
Does that Hulu TV service have like DVR type stuff or like it pause? Does, and
yeah.
That?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to remember to record the thing you're going to want to pause because otherwise you don't get that option. Like if you're watching something live, I think you maybe get a 5-minute pause or something.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing. That's the other thing I don't like about live. You know, if it's antenna only, obviously it's free. I'm not going to pay for anything except for the antenna, the cheap antenna. But I want to be able to get up and pee and not miss things, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, whatever. I don't miss it that much. This only comes up when a thing like this happens. And in the Super Bowl's case, it was on a streaming service I had, so I didn't even think about it. In the case of the Oscars, it was like,
Twitch channel.
That was all pretty weird. So for those sorts of things, maybe it's worth it. Now I'm trying to think about where I'd actually put the antenna.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, because then you have to have this. That one still, at least the one we had, used coax cable. And so you still had to have this coaxial cable coming out of the back of your TV.
I assume you still do, right? Because antennas are, I don't know. Do they?
Antennas are coax. They don't have, as far as I know, not a USB antenna thing that I think it still has to be coax.
Yeah, they're not going to be HDMI or something.
Much harder to get that thing to kind of be hidden flat up against in a corner or something because it's this big, stupid, bulky, I hate bending kind of coax cable or more coax cable is, nope, I've been in a coil for the last several months in an Amazon warehouse. I am staying in this coiled position.
Yeah. I think we found a neighbor with a scrambler, by the way. I think that happened.
Really?
Scrambler? Yeah. So this is the thing. There was some controversy years ago about some movie theater chain was going to implement this so that people couldn't use their phones in the movie theater, and they got in trouble for it because you can't shut down communication or whatever.
Yeah.
But this somebody in a house over here, when I either walk past it or drive past it, all communication devices go, they shut off.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, not shut off, but all satellite, everything, nothing.
Yeah. Zero. Your signal drops just while you're by that house.
Yeah. So I think there's some guy in there who's like, I ain't letting the government listen to me or whatever. It's something.
Oh my God.
Something like that. Okay. I want to know who it is so I can just, I don't know. I just want to know. I don't need to talk to him. I don't need to know anything else about his life. I just want to know who the paranoid guy up the road is who blocks it all. Because if you're driving your car, two things will happen. Even if I'm listening to terrestrial radio in the car, which really? Is an antenna, I hear it go, it'll skip sometimes. So like a song will be like, I don't know, shiny, happy people, whatever. And then it'll go shiny, hap, 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 peep, 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 people like that. As you're going past this one place and nowhere else. And right there, my phone stops working. Any calls you're having go off. Some guy's got like a freaking monster scrambler job in there.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty cool, right? Can, I mean, I don't. Is it illegal? iMacHead says it's illegal to do that, and I should report him. Is that true? I assume
the problem is you don't have a way of proving it.
Not really, right?
But it certainly seems like it's definitely the case, right?
Yeah. How do I? I mean, I guess I could probably get some sniffer equipment, but I don't want to go that far.
Yeah. No, that's a long way to just report some guy to the FCC, but.
FCC violation.
Maybe, I don't know. 100%. Can you report a suspicion of that to the FCC and they'll just send somebody out to with their own sniffers and figure it out?
Oh, that's interesting. Say, yeah, I got a suspicion every time I go by here, blah, blah, blah. But here's what's funny. The government themselves do this because they make the rules. When I go past the NSA data storage place that's out here, when I drive past that, same problem. Everything shuts off. Phones quit working. I'm sure it's in the vein of national security or whatever, but all that shit goes off. It's the exact same problem. And the music skips and acts weird when I go by this NSA building that they built.
So same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So I can't, the government can do it. I guess we can't, I guess is what this comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. We can do it. We allowed ourselves to do it. You can't do it.
Yeah. Sorry. And this guy probably has a real beef about that, if I had to guess. He's over there going, every time I go over to Point of the Mountain, they shut it down. How come I can't do it? I thought this was America. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there, but I like it.
Yeah, that sounds like what it might be. That's nuts.
It's pretty crazy.
Totally nuts.
All right. What else? Oh, so many things today. Let's get to this one.
I know we have a lot. Yeah.
You made a guess here. That's interesting.
and am I right or wrong? What's the?
Well, I changed my alarm, and damn it, you might be right. Here's what I did. I decided to change my alarm.
I'm impressed, by the way. We've had an entire film sec and an entire episode yesterday of TMS where the four-letter word was not mentioned. So I'm totally fine that, you know, it's 2 days later we can finally have a mention of it.
Yeah, we can finally say the word Dune again and feel okay about it. I am very obsessed with Dune. Everyone knows this right now. I can't stop thinking about it. It's all I want to talk about. It's all I want to think about.
Tweet about.
Yeah, and I'm reading books and just, you know, I'm just all in right now.
Sure.
So I change my phone alarm when I get when I wake up in the morning.
Uh-huh.
No one's happy about this except me. Here's the sound. Oh, no. That lady just yelling. That's what I do now.
Yeah. That's you wake up to that.
Yeah, now I get up. I get the hell up with that. I don't lay around. I don't hit snooze. I'm not like, you know, it's just like 7 a.m.
Okay, Rafiki. That sounds like
I love that so much. And what I love about it it works
straight up in bed. Like, with that.
it works like almost like it does in the movie. There's a lot of times in the movies in part one and two where there'll be kind of a quiet moment of just sort of Hans Zimmer kind of. And then suddenly that lady will go like out of nowhere, you know, and just make you jump a little bit. It's like that. It's a lot like that.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, no way. Nope. No, I've got that slowly building, escalating, built in. The good iPhone alarm that doesn't, you know, isn't the bang, 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 that horrible one. The one that seems to come up as default if I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, SIRI, set an alarm for 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's the one that for some reason defaults to.
Bonk, 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 bonk.
Yeah, with the weird bird tweeting going on at the same time. I don't understand what the point of that alarm is.
Yeah. Is it this one? Here, I'll play one. So you tell me if this is the one that you are talking about. Is it this one? Hold on. Not that
no,
one.
No, God, no.
That
no.
sucks, right? Don't do that one.
That sucks. Let's see if I don't. It's. I don't even know if I can make it play automatically.
Let's see. I'm trying to find another one that's less.
It is the early riser, is what it's called. Let's see. Oh, I bet if I select
this one. Does it? Where it starts out piano-y?
Yeah. The one that kind of slowly builds up. That's such a nice one.
Oh, yeah. This isn't bad.
Okay,
but what if you and it rises slowly.
Rises slowly, yeah.
Where does this max out? Hold on, let's hear. Oh, I guess it goes back and forth. So it goes. Okay, but what about this?
The combo.
Yeah, what about that?
You know, it's fine if maybe you have the screaming lady singing voice about a minute into that, so that you have time to like turn it off before that happens.
Well, good news, everybody. Don't worry. Tomorrow, my recommendal will have nothing to do with Dune at all. It'll be completely Dune unrelated. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, completely has something to do with Dune, and you're going to all have to deal with it. All right.
What is there left to talk, like, recommend that's Dune that hasn't already been done? Oh, I guess there's
one. Well, you'll have to wait and find out. Yep. It's going to be real good. Also, speaking of loud things. No, we got a call about that tiny little fish.
The one that made that popping sound. It was just loud for fish.
Yeah, which is, you know, fine and all, but this call's a little strange in terms of what their take is. So anyway, here's a 20-second call about that.
Hello, Shot and Bullet. This is Mike from Tampa, Florida. I was listening to CMS 2609 about the tiny fish that has a bullet loudness. And I think it's a gun with a silencer. Okay, I love the show. Bye.
I don't exactly know what he means. Like, I don't. What he means it's a like.
Yeah.
It's,
so we had the story about the fish that made a sound that was as loud as a bullet, and right. We figured out that it's loud. It's as loud as a bullet in proportion to the size of the fish,
right?
Compared to like. A gun or you know whatever,
right?
And he's just saying that it's a gun with a silencer. It's the fish is as loud as a gun with a silencer, not as loud as a gun with a bullet.
I get it. All right. Yeah. It took me a minute. Well, no, it took me more than a minute. It took me until just right now where Brian helped me understand. So now I get it.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to Brian explain things.
That's
to
right.
You. No problem.
Which would you rather have? That fish wake you up or this? The second is the answer. That's the correct answer.
Between the two, I think you might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, if you're going to take a popping fish.
Yeah. If you're giving me the lesser of two evils situation, yes.
Yep. That's fair enough. All right. Also, you've got a little trivia for me.
I have a little trivia for you. By the way, did you ever find out the answer to you had tweeted me? I just realized that we were talking about Brian splaining things, and you had asked me about. Tina Turner's Private Dancer.
Oh, someone wrote. I never did get an answer.
Yeah, it is. Mark Knopfler did write Private Dancer. Yes.
I had no idea.
I love
idea.
The fact that the guy tweeting says some guy from Dire Straits.
Yeah, like, some guy.
He's the guy from Dire Straits. There are other guys in Dire Straits, but there's name any other guy.
Mark Knopfler is the big. He's the big dude. So that song. When I hear her do Private Dancer, Dancer for Money, Do What You Want Me to Do, all that. Yeah. That's. Mm-hmm. Knopfler telling me that kind
right.
of
right. That's Knopfler telling you he wants to be your private dancer. That was going to be recorded for. I mean, he had written that. He didn't write that with the intention of giving it to Tina Turner.
Okay.
But Tina Turner was not. She was an incredible singer.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things that you think of song-wise of hers are not written by her. That Better Be Good to Me is. The song she did with The Fix was written by the band Sweet. You remember the band Sweet?
I do.
Ballroom Blitz. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked them at the time.
What's Love Got to Do with It was somebody else.
All her hits, it sounds like. Everything.
Terry Britton. Yeah. Basically, all her hits were written by somebody else. But you know what? That's fine. She doesn't need to.
No.
She doesn't need to do that.
She's like most of these, you know, they're all like that. The big stars, they got other people doing their shit. It's totally fine.
Exactly. I found a Thunderdome song was by somebody else.
Oh, really? Somebody else. Yeah. Oh, well, I know who runs Bartertown.
Same pair, actually. Graham Lyle and Terry Britton. Terry Britton wrote a lot of stuff for Olivia Newton-John.
Mark Knopfler runs Bartertown, is what you're telling me.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. He'd be a great Bartertown runner. I'd vote for him.
You would be great, yes.
Here is a...
Vote for me for Bartertown. Listen, Bartertown. A lot of people saying I can't run Bartertown, and I think...
Again, that email address is coverville.
I get those.
At gmail.com.
Send those emails in.
Yeah. Here's a... Oh, so somebody...
Sleepy Master Blaster can't run Bartertown.
By the way, this is the single point of exposure I will have to that man during this year. I will pay attention to nothing.
My impersonations of it will be the
be
your only exposure to. That's fine. I'm happy to do that for you.
Yeah. Him or the other guy. Don't care who's in it. I'm not paying attention this year. All right. I am it. Hey, listen to this.
Build a big wall around those pigs. Got to keep those pigs.
That's perfect.
The lifeblood of Bartertown.
Yeah. If you don't have those pigs, what do you even have in Bartertown? Put up that wall.
That's right.
Somebody made a version of Private Dancer if it was played by Dire Straits. So I'm just playing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Let's see what we got here. I just found this. All right, get to the meat here.
So is this AI created while we're getting?
No, it's a guy. It's a dude.
Okay.
Somebody's playing.
Well, don't been coming these places. And they are all the same.
Ooh, a little tone deaf.
A little tone deaf.
Little tone deaf, but...
You could see it, though. You could see it, right?
Totally
you
could see it, yeah.
That kind of more groovy sort of...
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mark Knopfler, his songwriting, his singing frequently had other characters he was singing about and singing from the perspective of these other characters. Romeo and Juliet, my favorite song of all time. Not cover, not anything like just my favorite flat out song of all time, Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits, is sung from the perspective of this, you know, love struck Romeo who's in love with this girl named Juliet, but it's modernized. It's not the Shakespearean thing. It's just a modernized thing.
Yeah. I love, dude, I could not, Brothers in Arms, that record, I wore that tape out. I wore it out.
Listen, do yourself a favor. Go listen to Skate Away. Or is it called Skate Away? The album is Making Movies.
Okay.
It's a lyric from Skate Away that the title comes from.
Okay.
That is an incredible album.
All right. I don't think I've heard it.
As commercially successful as I Want My MTV, as Brothers in Arms was, Making Movies was a, let's say, it is the Nebraska to Dire Straits. Born in the USA, like the equivalent of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska to his Born in the USA with all the hits.
Oh, I see. Okay. No, that's cool.
Making Movies is the equivalent.
It's like License to Ill compared to Paul's Boutique for
License to Ill had all the hits. Paul's Boutique a little bit.
It was like the better album, but it was different than the hits. Yeah.
What's the album that everybody says is when Green Day was good and they hate everything else afterwards? Oh. Or is it Weezer?
Green Day. People Pinkerton. Always say Dookie.
Who had Weezer was Pinkerton, right?
That's right. Yeah, Pinkerton was Weezer.
And they always say, oh, Pinkerton was their last good album. And then everything after that was...
People say that about Dookie for Green Day, but they're wrong. They're wrong.
Right.
Okay.
they are wrong.
They are wrong. There are so many. There's so much good Green Day after Dookie. Dookie was great. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah. No. Warning. What's the album with Warning that had the things over the face of the eyes?
Oh, I love that song. Yeah, I do too. That album's great. That new album is amazing. Their new stuff's really, really good. Savior, whatever it's called, it's freaking fantastic. So good. Life after Dookie. That's right. all right, okay, let's do this trivia. Let's see how this works.
All right, so Scott Taskinen sent us some trivia questions, some Seinfeld trivia questions for you.
I watch a lot of Seinfeld all the time. Yeah.
Excellent.
Last night before bed, more Seinfeld. We do this. It's a tradition in this house.
So. Then I'm guessing one of these questions you'll say, this was the episode we listened to last night, Brian.
Might have been. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Question number one. In the dinner party episode, Jerry gets sick from a black and white cookie and has to end his vomit streak. When was the last time he vomited?
1980. Shoot. I know so much about this. This is
the answer here. He's got the day, the month and day too, but
you
should probably not say another word after that. You could stop right there and at least get the year right.
Yeah. All right. So 1980, but what's the rest of it?
June 29th, 1980.
Oh, I can hear him say it now.
If you get the year, I feel like you're good.
Okay. I'll take a point.
I'll give you a point for that.
All right.
How did Jerry and George meet?
They met. Okay. So they knew each other in high school. There's a bunch of episodes. There's one episode where they even flash back to high school and they put hair on George for it.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because it's about their coach and they got a wedgie and he screamed and made the birds fly and all that stupid. Where did they meet, though?
Where did they meet?
Oh, my gosh, I'm not going to get this one.
What or how? It? It's more like how did they meet? Like what?
How did what they meet?
Caused the two of them to meet?
Yeah.
How did Jerry and George meet?
I don't remember. What is this one?
It was in gym class when George fell on Jerry's head.
Damn it! All right, I knew it's something all school right. related. It's always they always talk about that. All right. So far,
one out of two. You're batting 50. Okay. What job did George quit because his boss wouldn't let him use his personal bathroom?
Oh, that wasn't the industrial smoothing one. That was the one with Mr. Carlson, who was the boss. They couldn't fire him, though, because he had a fake disability.
Oh! I don't remember what? His name. What was the job? I just need the job. Like, what was the
what did
was
he
the job?
Do?
Yeah.
What did they do there? I don't remember what they did at the Mr. Carlson place. What is it?
He was a realtor.
Oh, shit.
Two for three. Or one for three.
I am thinking of the right job, though. Right?
I think so. I can't remember the you've got me on the name. I couldn't remember the name. I just remember it being
I'm doing terrible. All right. Yeah. One out of three. Keep going.
One out of three. All right. You'll get this one. What movie was Jerry wanting to see after eating at the Chinese restaurant?
Oh, I just saw we literally just saw this one again. Like two nights ago, there's James Hong, there's the whole Cartwright thing. Like we just saw it.
One of the best episodes of the show ever.
It's also a landmark episode where Seinfeld knew what it was going to be forever after that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an important
episode. And an
episode
that can't take place in a cell phone world.
Right. No, absolutely. George's whole side of it, he's screwed.
Yeah, that whole George thing is done. And you would have made your reservation on Open Table and...
Frick, what movie? He was wanting to go to the movie. He didn't want to go alone. Elaine was like, forget it. I'm going home. I'm going to get White Castle. And he says, right. I can't go see such and such alone. This would have been like 91 or 2. Oh, my gosh, dude.
Oh, this is the one I thought for sure you'd get.
I'm going to hear it and be mad.
Yeah. What all is right. it? It's Plan 9 from Outer
Space. Oh, shit! I knew that! You know what got in the way was, like, all the other references
Rochelle
they make.
Rochelle.
Yeah, Rochelle, a young whatever's journey
Sack
from the
lunch,
Milan
whatever
Dement.
It's called. Sack Lunch.
Sack yeah. Lunch. The whole you made out during Schindler's List. All of that stuff was in here.
English
going,
Patient, I think, had a thing on
yeah,
there.
The English while, Patient yeah. was the one where she hated it so bad, but she kept going. And she finally saw it with Peterman, and Peterman said, Elaine, you don't like Sack Lunch. You don't like The English Patient? She goes, I hate it. He goes, well, you're fired then. And that was the end of that.
That's right.
See, I would have known that. Who did she go see The English Patient with, the final viewing of it? She went to see it with Jay Peterman. All right.
Right. All right.
Damn
number
it.
Number five. You're one for four. You're going to turn things around. I know you are.
Yeah.
Number five. What is Kramer's alter ego?
His alter ego.
Yeah, there's a name that he uses.
It's not Cosmo Kramer, then. It's something
it's
else.
It's not Cosmo. It's yeah, exactly. Not his real name, but this...
alter ego. So, like when he's faking something or whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah, his... Yeah, I was going to say nom de plume, but like... right.
Well, there's a couple of them, but probably... Oh, I'm thinking of George with the importer-exporter.
Art Vandelay.
Yeah, Vandelay. So this is probably the Dr. Van Nostrand one where he's got the mole. He just finds the mole on that guy.
You know what? I'm going to give you that because that's not the answer they have here, but that is another one he uses. H.E. Pennypacker is the other one that Kramer uses at some point.
That's right.
So I'm going to give you that one. Two for five.
Okay.
Which two actors played parents in Seinfeld and then also worked together in Twin Peaks?
Oh, I know that.
And I don't need their the actual actor names I need to know whose parents they were.
George's dead fiance's parents.
Correct.
And yes, you know why? Susan's, the only reason Susan's I know that parents. Is it's impossible for that. Susan's mom, the lady that plays Susan's mom, yes. It's impossible to see her as anything. Well, she's good in everything. Don't get me wrong.
She's good in everything, but you can't not see her as Laura Palmer's whacked out mother.
Yeah. Or, that's 100% it.
Yeah.
It's just impossible to see her in totally. Anything else without seeing it. You can still appreciate the role she's in. There's no problem with it. She didn't get high typecast. It's just that you're reminded and you're like, oh yeah, Twin Peaks lady. Nice job.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So you are 3-6. You're
bad.
Back up to 50%.
Yep. Yeah. I love being in the middle. It's great.
This is going to be a tough one. What three jobs do Kramer and Mickey share?
Okay. Once is the stand-in actors for other actors. So like they
yep,
pull them stand-ins. In.
Yep. Correct. That's one.
Mickey played the little kid and he played the adult, the father. So there's one. Two was Santa and Elf, I believe.
Yes, that's two. Very good. And third?
Which, by the way, is funny because that same dude played, Mickey played an elf in Bad Santa.
In Bad Santa, yeah. Is it the same? It is the same guy. Okay.
Same actor, yeah. He's great in that. And then the third, oh boy. They had to fake diseases for the hospital so that the learning
sick patients. Yeah, very sick good. Patients. Yep, that's all three. Good job.
That's 3 points.
4-7.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it was 3 points.
Oh no. I wish you know what? Okay, sure. Why not?
Yeah, why not? We run the rules here. It's fine. Yeah. All right. I feel good about that.
What were Elaine and Jerry's roles in The Briss?
Jerry had to, are they separate?
Yeah.
Jerry had to hold the baby.
Yes. Very good.
And Elaine. Oh, what did Elaine do? Okay. That guy was all like nervous and weird. Jerry didn't want to do it because he was all shaky and freaky. What did Elaine have to do? I don't remember her job.
I'll give you 1 point for Jerry holding the baby. Elaine had to find the Moyle.
Oh, she got the guy.
She had to find the Moyle.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll mention this later. I'm not going to use it for recommendals, but I watched Ricky Stenicki. It's a new movie, kind of in the vein of like Wedding Crashers and the whole that whole style of movie, but it's John Cena. Premise is that these guys, ever since they were kids, have been using this made up fictitious name, Ricky Stenicki, to blame anything they got in trouble for on. So like, you know, they on Halloween were pranking somebody and they set the house on fire and they blamed it on this kid named Ricky Stenicki instead of it being them. They made up this name.
And he plays, who plays Ricky Stenicki? Is that?
Well, I'm getting to
that. Oh, okay.
I'm gonna really quickly paraphrase this for you to get to the premise.
Go ahead.
And so growing up, they decide, hey, anytime we need to do something, we'll blame it on Ricky Stenicki. So they, you know, when they get married, they're like, ooh, you know, hon, we need to go be there for Ricky Stenicki. He's got cancer. He's visiting, but he's out in Atlantic City. We need to go see him. And then they go to Atlantic City to have a boys' weekend. Mm. So they eventually come up to this point where they have to hire somebody to be Ricky Stenicki so the wives don't get suspicious, and they hire John Cena, who's this porn actor impersonator in Atlantic City.
He's down to clown.
It's really funny up until the last 20 minutes where they feel like they've got to provide a resolution to everything. And that for me, that's when the whole thing kind of falls apart.
Oh, it's got Firefly Firefly star Zac Efron in it. Let's see.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway. Andrew Santino. Anyway.
All right. Not bad. Yeah. I'm not going to use it as a recommendal because I feel like the ending kind of missed the boat. But anyway, all right. Back to the questions here. Number 8, what would George drape himself in if it was socially acceptable?
What would he drape himself in? Oh, shit. It's a very specific reference.
It is a very specific reference, and he says drape, but I think the correct word is ensconce.
Ensconced in. Well, I think it was just, like velvet or something.
It is velvet.
Is it velvet?
Ensconced
is that right?
In velvet. Yes, okay. Correct.
Oh, that's right. Because he said if he could, he would be entirely covered in velvet all the time.
That's right. I'd like to be ensconced in velvet.
Yeah.
What show did Jerry claim he doesn't watch and even took a lie detector test to prove?
Oh. And he's trying to date the cop girl who gives him the test. It all goes wrong. Right. What show?
Yeah. What show did he swear that he never watched?
Some kind of thing he would hate normally, but he really wanted to impress her. Oh my gosh, Scott, come on. Was it like... Okay, we're talking early mid-90s. It was on, so it was a referential thing. Not 90210. The other one. Young people living together in an apartment thing complex. Melrose Place.
Very good. Yes.
Oh, geez.
Well done.
Oh my gosh. That hurt.
That looked like it hurt. Yeah.
All right.
Who won the contest episode out of the main four?
Okay. Kramer was out first.
Yep. I'm out.
I'm out because of the neighbor lady who was naked.
Right.
Jerry didn't make it because he gave up. Elaine didn't make it because of Junior. Not Junior Soprano. I should clear that up.
That was right.
Probably, I guess that's just George who's left. No one else was in it. George?
So Jerry technically won because in the final episode, in the Seinfeld finale, George admitted that he cheated. So he actually was out before Jerry.
That's a dirty question. That's good.
That's a dirty question, yeah.
Ah, crap. I forgot he did that.
We just got four more of these.
Okay.
When Jerry was changing the tape in George's girlfriend's answering machine, what did George yell to warn Jerry? Like, of her coming. They had a secret code to...
I think it was something like... Like tiptoe or tiptoe.
I'm gonna give it to you. It's tippy toe.
Oh, tippy toe, tippy toe. I love that one. Okay. All right.
What phrase does Frank Costanza replace Serenity Now with?
Oh. Replaced it?
He replaced it.
Oh, this one is gonna be a hard one. It's not where he was going. Is it the one where he's yelling Hoochie Mama all the time?
It's the one where he's, yes.
Oh, Hoochie, I thought those Mama were separate things. I thought those were different episodes.
The way that Scott wrote it in here, it's he replaced Serenity Now with Hoochie Mama.
Okay. All right. Hoochie. Hoochie Mama. I have those separate, but I guess that's the same episode because they only did that one episode, right? I don't think there was multiple episodes.
I think just one episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
One of Elaine's boyfriends shares his name with what serial killer?
Oh, son of Sam. Hold on. Oh, they're at the baseball game. Somebody says, I can't remember the name. She wanted him to change it, and they went through like all these names, like Alex and all this stuff, and I can't remember.
Joel Rifkin.
Joel Rifkin, frick! Oh, man, I should have got that. I've seen that one 100 times. All right.
And then, yeah. Now, this last one, I'm not sure how we're going to score this one, but question 15, final question. When George tries to parallel park by backing in, he gets blocked by another car pulling in.
Yeah.
Whose parking spot is it? Whose spot does it belong to?
Oh, that's a weird question. So the whole fight of that is whoever backs in first should get the thing.
Exactly, yes.
The guy's that little crazy bald actor who gets his hands broken in a different episode in Jerry's trunk.
Yep.
Shows up at that funeral and tells everyone Jerry's a psycho killer or something. But that's not the same.
I don't know if we can even. Don't know if we can score this one based on the answer that he gives.
Because nobody, the problem, the whole episode teetered around this idea.
Around the fact that, right.
Exactly. And they stay there all the way through night. There's like a kid who has an opinion. Cops have opinions. They can't decide. I remember two cops having an argument, and one of them was with Jerry or with George. The other was with the other guy.
With the other guy,
I don't know. I don't think it ever did it get that's resolved.
That is the answer is shrug.
That's the answer. Well, then I think I got that.
You did get that. Yeah.
All right. I'll take that point. All right. You know what? In the end, I think I did better than I thought I was going to do.
I think you did. You did very well. Yeah. You rallied at the end and did really well coming back around.
Oh, that was great. That was awesome.
Melrose Place and Tippy Toe and Hoochie Mama. And very good.
Helps justify the many, many rewatches I have done of Seinfeld. Very nice. Thank you for that. That was awesome. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to be joined by our good friend and friend of the program, Dan the Tabletop Man.
Ooh, yay.
Yep. We're going to start some stuff out with some medical stuff. I know some people love that. Some people hate that. And then we're going to talk about board games. Guess what? Some people love that. Some people hate that.
I love that.
I love it.
The board game talk.
I love it all. Let's bring it on. So we're going to do that in a minute, but let's do it after a song, if you please.
Yes, let's go to Munich for this band, Munich Germany. This is pop punk and emo, which has seen a remarkable resurgence over the past year. These guys consider themselves to be part of the genre, but their sound is close to the likes of Jimmy Eat World and Taking Back Sunday. They are a Munich-based band, but they're fronted by a Welsh lead singer, a guy named Nick Sauter, and they've made quite an impact on the European music scene. This is their new single called My Favorite Place, featuring Kaylee Goldsworthy. Here is Cadet Carter.
Walk the streets, not moving on. Can't If I didn't know that tail was attached to a horse's rear end, I'd swear it was Cher's.
Take a salt tablet.
And we've returned, regaleous with the information you gave us before the song.
Happy
played.
To do it. By the way, big thanks to Earshot Media and S-Bam Records for this one. Cadet Carter is the band you just heard. That song is called My Favorite Place. Go check out their brand new album. Comes out the middle of April, April 12th, called Self Maintenance.
Nice. I like a little self-maintenance.
Yes.
I did that yesterday. I sat in the sun. Yeah, soaked in some vitamin D, you know? Got that D going?
Oh, I need some of that myself.
Yeah.
I sit inside too much.
I love the D. Got to get that D. Now we're going to get some more D.
Here's a tangent for you.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
That version of D is called Dan. Dan the Tabletop Man, joining us from North Carolina, as he always does each and every month. Hi, Dan. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Greetings, programs.
Hey, man.
How are you boys doing?
Good, good. You're in the thick of the... Well, how does hockey season for the kid work during regular hockey season? Is it all tied together? You know what I mean?
Well, all the Northeast, like Boston prep schools are all done. They ended like a couple weeks ago. It's all spring break right now.
Yeah.
DJ being in Canada, he's got one more weekend of playoffs, and then he'll come home Sunday for his spring break, and then he'll head back early April. I think the 7th, he's got to be back on campus. So basically, the most seasons are kind of winding down. If people are playing like triple A travel in like the U16, U14, and such, that the Nationals are going to be going on around that same weekend. That it's out in Vegas this year. But DJ's not playing any of that. He's just playing the prep. So once he goes back for after spring break, he'll be playing lacrosse on campus. So it's
that's cool. All right.
But you know, going to school primarily. So, and he just got, honor roll, so I'm proud of him.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, good for him. That's awesome.
Yes. The chances are higher than not that you could have a kid in the NHL one day if he keeps pushing, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
No.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
No. I'm a dad, and I'm very, very biased.
He's not that good.
No. I'm very, very biased. I'm biased, but he is a very good goalie. But to get to the show, that's just – you got to be exceptional, the 0.0001% best of best. Now, don't get me wrong. Anything can happen, but no, sure. His goal is just to play in college. So he's got to play a couple more years of prep school, then play juniors. And then he just wants to play in college, whether it be D1, D3, wherever. I think he's good enough to play D3 if he keeps going. He's had some D1 scouts talking to him, but that's kind of their job. I'm not really. Mm-hmm. That's pie in the sky stuff. Like, he was talking to BC and BU. Those are number one and number two. And I was really surprised that those guys came up to DJ and were like, oh, hey, I saw your game the other day against so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, but just use that as good confidence builder. But those guys, they've got their pick of every kid in the world. So, you know, just use that as confidence builder. Keep yourself going. Keep working hard, knowing that people are seeing it. But really, you know, he just wants to play somewhere in college, have fun, and then just, get a life, get a career, and live his life, whether it be, that was really a bad choice of words, but you know what I mean? No delusions of grandeur that he's going to be going anywhere. You know, if those things happen, great. If not, he's a student athlete, so he's got to be the student first, and that coming out of COVID is hard because everybody was learning online, and he's not one of those kids. He's got to be in a school to learn.
Be out there.
So I'm very proud of him now.
No, that's awesome. Honor roll and all that. It's just funny because kids, like 90s kids, all thought they could be Michael Jordan, and kids today all think they can be Mr. Beast. And you know what? There's always this stuff where it's like this, anybody can be a gigantic whatever. And it's statistically kind of dangerous to give them too much hope in that zone. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to give them too many. And then if they exceed your expectations, great. They become the next Lemieux. Great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But you don't know. You know, plus you want him to keep his teeth. You want his teeth to remain in his mouth and not all over the
place. No, he's not too worried about his teeth.
His nose to remain straight.
Yeah, goalies don't ever. I never see goalies getting fights much. Doesn't happen very often.
Well, they do in the pros, but like even fighting in like juniors and stuff like that, it's still kind of rare. Usually, it's the freak accident of a puck going here or there. And most of these leagues now, especially most of the junior leagues and prep school and stuff, you wear full cages. And DJ has You know, obviously he's a goalie, so wears a goalie mask. He doesn't wear any of those weird cat eye goalie masks, which are kind of illegal in the U.S. And they're more illegal because sticks can get in there, not necessarily for pucks to get in there. But I'm not really too worried about him as far as that. You know, you worry more about his knees and anything else. He's actually had a couple of weird kind of falls. One time a kid came, his own teammate came through the crease on accident and absolutely slew-footed him. What that means is he basically came from behind his leg and just almost like spun him in air and he fell on his elbow and had to come out of the game. But he was fine. It's just kind of like a stinger. You know, like you ever hit your elbow and you just can't grab anything?
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a little worse if you did that there, but he's young. He'll repair. You know,
he just basically had to miss the rest of the game because he couldn't really grab. But, you know, after about an hour or two, you know, the nerves and everything else, just, you know, all that blood flow started coming back and it was fine. But it was just kind of one of these freak occurrences.
I've had this theory
you worry about everything.
Sure. I've had this theory for a long time about hockey, that the reason it's known for fighting, it's kind of a stereotype, right? But I think that all came out of the fact that you guys get into the most uncomfortable, smelly freaking gear to play that game.
God, yeah.
You're hot as hell. Like, it's everyone thinks, oh, you're on the ice. It's a nice way to keep things cool. No, dude, I've been around hockey players. You guys are disgusting. You sweat like pigs. You smell horrible. Your gear, if you put your gear in the basement of a house, sell the house. Because, gosh, dang it, it's bad. It stinks so bad.
It is hard to get rid of that smell.
So that's why you guys are fighting. That's the whole thing. You fight because you're gross and you're uncomfortable and you're hot. That's what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And some guys, what they'll do is they'll make their gear even worse so that we're in the corner with somebody. That person doesn't want to be there for too long with them because they smell that bad. Yeah, I've heard people do that. I don't know how much that actually works, but I have heard guys say that they used to do that, would leave it in their trunk so that when they were in the corner, guys would skate away from them. I mean, when you go on these road trips and you're airing out your gear between games in a hotel room, that is the worst place. You kind of get like immune to it, but it when you go in there after going out to dinner and you come back, you're like, oh my God.
It's so bad. It's like a wall of scent. It's just so bad. I had a friend named Bill in high school and his gear stunk so bad. I didn't play hockey, but he did. And I would come into his house and his poor mother, she was just like, oh, Scott, welcome. It's good to see you. Do you want anything to eat? There's plenty in the fridge. Bah, bah, bah. But all I can think about is I'm breathing in something that feels like it's tangibly thick in the air. And it's this kid's freaking nasty ass gear. Oh, it was so bad. I felt bad for her.
When we would go to sometimes you go to like war, you know, and it's in the South. So when you go to tournaments and stuff like that, especially towards the end of the season, between games, guys are putting their gear out on the lawn to try and air it out. It looks like a yard sale with all just people's gear everywhere to try and air it out between games.
And the whole town smells like a paper factory or something gross like that, like a Dannon yogurt factory. Disgusting. Yeah. Anyway, well,
I got a call back for you from the Seinfeld stuff you said.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you were talking about how Kramer, one of my favorite ones was Kramer and Mickey when they were doing the diseases when they're doing it for the med school diseases.
Yeah.
We in pharmacy school, there's a thing, there was like a counseling competition we used to have to do in pharmacy school. So you're studying up on a lot of diseases and then, you know, in a lot of different ways that you would have to counsel a patient. And we would have like, they actually in a pharmacy school, they have a room that's a mock-up pharmacy just so that you could practice these things because you go to national competitions and they would give you like a couple of prescriptions and a patient would come up and you would have to look at them, you know, to pretend to give them to them. And they would grade you on how you counseled the patient. Sometimes you would have to figure out like what other disease states were going on, the fact that these two drugs couldn't go together. So it was really crazy. But it kind of reminds me of that whole scene where it's like, screaming about syphilis or whatever, gonorrhea, whatever it is, and they're like,
yeah, he had to figure out a way to make gonorrhea work as an acting job or whatever the deal was. And
right,
they had like dark lighting. Oh, by the way, the acting debut of Daniel Day Kim in that scene. That's a trivia question.
I remember that. Yep.
Somebody could have said, "Hey, what lost actor got his acting debut in the scene where Kramer has gonorrhea?" And I would have said Daniel Day Kim. Also, real quick, here's the same episode where Lalaine gets a shot. It's still one of the funniest moments. The scene is 9 seconds long total. They cut to it. They do the scene and they leave. And it's where she gets a shot from this doctor and it cracked me up. I'm just going to play it.
Is this going to hurt?
Yes, very much.
I don't know why that's so funny, but man, cannot get enough of that scene. Anyway. Dan, I got a text for you before we get going here, even though we've been going for a while now. Yeah. Here's the text from Katie. And Katie says this. This is a message for Dan Dan, the tabletop man. I'm listening to yesterday's TMS segment where you're talking about arthritis. And you were talking about all the crazy treatments that have been used for rheumatoid arthritis, or RA. I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis at age 3. Good Lord. When JRA was a very new diagnosis. This was 1983. I've been on almost every kind of treatment, including weekly gold shots in my ass. My parents and doctors used to call me the 24-carat kid, says Katie. Is that a thing I can... The real question here is what it boils down to is, can I still get gold shots from a pharmacist? Is that a thing?
Well, you wouldn't get them from the pharmacist. You would get them from your doctor, but nobody's really... I wouldn't say nobody, but very, very rarely are they using that anymore. Yeah. But it is... So here's the thing about rheumatoid arthritis and other immunosuppressant or immunocompromised kind of disease states. So think of your body as just... Your body is just amazing. Like, this is going to sound weird, but stay with me. Stay with me here.
So I thought you were complimenting me or Brian, but thank you. We appreciate it. Hello. Yeah. Your body
is amazing.
Your body is a wonderland.
So I often when you try to explain what the body can do, to be honest, the body is almost like the Borg, if you think about it in a certain way. So think about what you're trying to use medicines for. You're trying to either trick the body into doing what it's supposed to, you're trying to push the body to do more of what it's not doing, or you're trying to replace what it's completely not doing. Yeah. So in what your body does with your immune system is when you start throwing things at it like medicine, and this is what I tell people, especially allergy season is in full bloom right now, you know, I tell people to rotate their antihistamines because your body gets used to it. So like when I say your body's like the Borg, you know, like when the Borg gets shot once, all of a sudden they just kind of change and
they can adjust. No longer
get them anymore. Yeah. They adjust. Yeah. That's your body in a way. Like when you're using a certain amount of meds, and rheumatoid arthritis is a perfect example of this. When you start throwing these anti-rheumatic drugs at your body, eventually your body's just like, nope. We're done. So, and that's why when you talk to people, and it's fascinating. We already love talking to like old people, like 70s, 80-year-old people, because they've seen it all. When you start talking to a 65, 70-year-old patient with rheumatoid arthritis, they will tell you a laundry list. I mean, you could only imagine how long of all the different things they've tried. And generally gold, silver, all these weird things like willow bark, all sorts of things that they've used. Now, obviously gold and silver, you got to watch out for them. Especially gold, which was used more than silver, but you got to watch out for obviously heavy metal poisoning. You know, it's a slippery slope of how much works. And then once it stops working, you just got to have absolutely stop because there's so many side effects that you can get from things like, you know, those type of injections. So they're not really used as much anymore, or the second that they stop working, you got to get off them. I mean, nowadays you've got a lot of things. I mean, people, you know, some of the things that they use before now, the DMARDs, which are the anti-rheumatic drugs, you know, things like methotrexate, hydroxychloroquine, leflunomide, a lot of these things, sulfasalazine, like, I'm screwing up the name of it. Anyway,
they sound like Dune names. These are all Dune families that I haven't been in the books yet. I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you use a lot of those, and they just kind of keep your body from, basically, for lack of a better term, to keep your body from attacking itself.
Yeah.
Now you see a lot of these injections, which help to turn off a lot of those, like your Enbrels, your Humira, your Remicade, Cimzia, Orencia. These are all, again, these are all actually Pokemon names that I'm just throwing in here for you. These are all actually drug names. You usually see commercials for a lot of these. And the reason why you hear so many of these side effects, or they'll be like, oh, make sure you don't have tuberculosis or you don't have hepatitis, because they are so turning your immune system off so bad that you're at risk for so many other things. But when you have such bad things, like whether you have psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, even a lot of asthmas or atopic dermatitis, all these things are just your body saying, I hate you.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to make your life miserable.
It's so weird. You're just fighting yourself. These autoimmune things are just so, it's such an odd part of physiology to me, you know, like there's just this idea that you're this dude, you're walking around, you're living your life. Your body is supposed to be acclimated to living. And meanwhile, your insides are going, you suck. I'm going to freaking,
they're having a fight. Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. It sucks. I feel bad.
And you can get into, you can get into a big long. This is like these random drunken conversations where you have these debates about why we see a lot more of this stuff now. Is it because of what we're using in foods and other things, or is it just that we're now just, or is there more people out there, or we're more attuned to? We actually are more diagnostic with it. You know, better at diagnosing these things.
Yeah.
You could just go on for days as to why we're starting to see more of these things. Who knows? It just sucks that people have to go through it, because you just feel for patients, especially children. Now, sometimes when you see like atopic dermatitis, you know, children's body, you guys have had kids, so you know how the and Scott, you've got, you know, young grandkids.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you see some of those juvenile acne or juvenile, a lot of those atopic dermatitis. Oh, yeah. And that's just the, you know, think of like you just explode from the womb and here's 8,000 bacterias and other chemicals in the air, just normal things that are never going to hurt you, but they're just new to that skin and your skin's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So you just get those rashes and eventually most of that stuff goes away. Like they sometimes it takes a little bit longer with other kids, but some get so bad that some of these drugs are like Dupixent. I mean, it's approved for 6 months and up. Now, don't get me wrong. If a kid is that bad, but man, I don't want to put, you know, if I had a 6-month-old, I don't want to put this crap in there. I mean, granted, it works, but man, you got to just...
You better have a bad case, yeah. I agree. It's like Ramona. Little Ramona was here the other night. She's got little teeny little infant zitty things going on her cheeks. Mm-hmm. And you just settle, let that stuff go. But I'm holding her. I was feeding her the other night. She has this thing where she goes, when she drinks from her bottle, she goes, she'll go... like over and over. That's how she eats. She makes noise. And the whole time she got these weird little zits on her face. And part of me wants to go, get in there and just like,
God.
I don't, but I have a desire to, right? Because you want to get rid of that stuff. But okay, so here's my larger question. My mom, who's now 85, she's had a lifetime of, I don't remember what kind of arthritis. We just called it arthritis, but she's got like curled up, gnarled up fingers. And in my time, or my young time, I thought that was the beginning and end of arthritis. If you had arthritis, your fingers were all effed up. That was the end of it. But you just rattled off like 6 kinds of arthritis and maybe more.
6 kinds, yeah.
And I think that makes me think that we are, A, better at recognizing what they are. We have better subcategorization. We are better at diagnosis. And we are better at shedding light on conditions and things. Mm-hmm. That feels right to me, you know, because back then I would have gone, oh, that's that finger disease. Well, today I would say, no, there's like 20 of these and they're all different and they all do different things.
Kinds,
and, yeah. So
and mostly that's definitely sounds like rheumatoid arthritis, especially if she's got the gnarled hands and stuff. You know, the other things that you hear about people having osteoarthritis in their knees. And that's what, you know, kind of what I thought. I meant to ask you how your shoulder is, you know, because a lot of times you get arthritis in your shoulders and stuff.
My shoulder sucks. I hate my shoulder, although it fluctuates.
Still bothering you?
Today it's pretty good. Yeah. I've been doing these stretches told to me by my doctor and also confirmed by a physical therapist that they are the right ones to do. And they are helping. I think what I've got is I'm a side sleeper. Mm-hmm. And I think I think the way I hold my arm underneath me is the problem. Like holding it right here hurts, and this is the angle it's at when I sleep on it. So I think what I'm going to do is get one of them there pillows that's got the put your arm underneath, and it doesn't. You're not actually putting weight on the arm; you're kind of just hanging there. I'm going to try that out, see how that goes.
And if you get one of those long ones, you're especially men like us, men of a certain age, or anybody of a certain age with your hips. You know, a lot of times, I don't know how you normally sleep. I sleep on my side with my leg over. So when your leg, as you get older, when your leg is pushed down like that, it's not as good on your hip anymore because your hips aren't flexible as you. So if you get a long body pillow, you know, you put your arm there. This is going to sound really dumb, and I'll probably take crap for this forever. I sleep with a stuffed football. I don't know why. I've had it forever.
Just in your crotch or where is this?
And
is it big?
I caress it. I just caress it in my arm like I'm like holding a football all night long.
Is it a large one or is it the size of a regular football? Like how big is it?
It's about the size of a regular football. Maybe it's slightly bigger because it's stuffed, but it's a small football. So as I'm holding it, it also helps me from over rolling onto my stomach. So it keeps me on my side, but it helps me prop me up a little bit too.
Yeah.
It's,
You think your wife would, if I reached out to her, she'd do a picture at night?
Do you think your dad is asleep cuddling his little pillow? I'd wake up with those hip issues just on one side because I'm a side sleeper and I tend not to move for the whole night, or I feel like I don't move. And so I do get, pain in one side. So I think the body pillow's next on my list.
Yeah.
And that's a thing too. Don't you have a CPAP, Brian?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times when you start, when you get a little bit more used to having things like that in your body, mm-hmm. will normally kind of know not to move as much. Because normally they say you move. This has a lot to do with overnight woodies. Normally men will get a woody about every 90 minutes when they sleep. Nice. Around it.
All right. We have taken a turn. Keep going.
That's what's keeping me from sleeping on my stomach, to be honest. Yeah.
That's also how I pops myself up on the side as well.
Wake up in the middle of the night at a 40.
Like a little kickstand, basically.
Yeah. You wake up at a 45 degree angle at 2 a.m. and wonder, what's going on here?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Who needs board games when you got a kickstand that keeps you up at night on your side?
Sure.
But anyway, so you know the blood flow, and that's kind of part of your movement. Your body naturally will make you move a little bit, so you don't get things like, it would take a lot more than just overnight, but bed sores and things like that. So your body doesn't, the blood doesn't pool in certain areas, so you're moving all around. You're helping your blood to flow and not pool and not get any DVTs and things like that. And as you get kind of older, or, maybe your body just you're not moving as much. It's not kind of prompting you to move as much. And also, again, like you said, with things like CPAP, or you ever get, like when you get hurt or something like that, your body knows you don't want to move on your side because it's going to hurt. So you just stay in that one position.
That's true.
And sometimes it can give you cramps and just not feeling great in the morning because you're not getting that moving and blood circulation.
Yes, because you're favoring something, sort of, and then other stuff suffers when you favor. It's like a limp. Your left leg hurts, so you limp a little, but now your right leg hurts because you've been limping, and you want to get equilibrium, baby. You want to have it all smoothed out. All right,
we really took a right turn at Albuquerque.
Yeah, we did. The point is, if anyone's getting gold shots, tell us all about it, all right? Let us know, email us, and fill us in. In the meantime, Dan, you've got a cool Kickstarter you'd like to mention today. What's going on?
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool because the theme is an interesting one. It's a cute little game. It's a very fun game. This is called River Valley Glassworks. This is by the guys at Motor City Gameworks, Matt, Ben, and Adam. Now, this game is kind of like Azul. I'm not sure. Brian, do you remember Azul?
Oh, Azul, yes. Yes, I was thinking
very, very popular.
It's kind of like Zul. I'm like, Zul. But Azul, yes, A-Z-U-L.
Sure.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Azul is an amazing game. And Scott, Azul, and well, actually River Valley Glassworks, probably even a little bit easier than Azul because Azul has some weird spatial things to it. But this game is so, so simple. And Scott, you would absolutely love this game. All you're really doing is kind of draft. You're either taking glass. So it's based on a really cool kind of Depression era glass, or kind of river glass is actually a thing that people kind of collect. And you can actually people collect river glass or sea glass, and they sell it on Etsy and stuff like that. So that's what kind of the theme is you kind of got, you kind of got the river, the glass flowing down the river. And on your turn, you'll have some glass in your kind of possession. If you don't, then you've got to grab glass from the bottom of the river. But you're taking a piece of glass and you're putting it on the river, and then you're taking all the glass from either one side or the left or the right of where you place the piece. So you got to watch what you're placing out there because you don't want to necessarily give the next person a better piece. Now, there's different rarities of glass colors. And as you kind of get them, you're putting them on your board. If you see the player board in the picture on the Kickstarter, on the bottom, it goes left to right. Now, different colors will go from left to right as you pick them. Now, the kind of the way you get points is you want to get higher rows, the two highest rows are going to score you the most points. And also you're going to have kind of sets. So if you fill in a whole row from left to right, wherever you stop, that's where it's going to stop points. Anyway, it's pretty easy scoring, but you want to have the higher rows as far to the right, because that's where the scoring is a little bit higher. But as you're just kind of playing the game and drafting pieces. So it's a very chill game where you're just kind of sitting there and drafting really cool looking glass, and you're kind of pulling the glass out of the bag, you know, when you're refilling the river and refilling the bottom of the river, and then as you're taking the pieces, as you take pieces from a piece of river, that piece will come up, everything shifts down to the right, and you put that old piece down, and you're putting more pieces on there. But it's a very, very cool game. It's on Board Game Arena for people that like Board Game Arena right now. You can actually play it before you buy it. You can get in on it for just $39, but they do have a really cool, I actually got in on a little bit more of the deluxe.
Did you do the deluxe? Mm. The clear acrylic, like the river tiles look amazing.
Yeah, they look good.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm a little surprised how inexpensive this is for what they're including. There's a lot of cool shit in this. Like, just nice pieces. Nice, like Brian said, that river effect stuff, the sliding glass stuff is really cool.
Little two-dimensional or three-dimensional people, the little pans. This is really cool.
Beavers. I like a good beaver.
They're going to be,
yep.
They're going to be really cool little tactile pieces that you're pulling out of the bag.
Yeah.
And then there's a mini expansion which Frogs. Has to do with end game goals and stuff like that. I saw them working on that a while ago. But this really cool. I mean, I love little games like this where you can take this out for people who have never played a single game, and you can. And this is almost the everybody's mom that's like, let's just play. When you're trying to explain rules, let's just play. This is a game you can actually kind of do that, because you can just set it up there and say, hey, you see you've got three pieces in front of you? Pick one of these pieces. It goes to us. It represents a certain part on the river. And then you just take one of the ones from the left to right and then put it in front of you. You can play the game in 20 minutes. You'll learn how to play it. And then you just kind of set it up again to play again once you really know what you're doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it. Go check it out. That is on Kickstarter. Just search for, scroll back up, River Valley Glassworks, or just River Valley. I'll get you there. Got me there. And you can support the frickin' thing. Dan, anything else before we send you on your merry way?
No, I'm going to save. I'll save my game of the year from last year to next episode. We'll talk about it because it deserves a little bit longer. I'm sorry, Scott. It's absolutely not a Scott game, although you would love it if we were explaining it to you. But Brian, you would love the game. I'll send you a link off air, but perfect. We'll talk about it next time.
My simple mind will not grasp it, but Brian, your complex intellect... will easily grasp the rules.
No. Your mind would love it. Scott, it's not hard at all, but it has some really cool depth to it. However, it's gonna take you 30 minutes to learn, and I think that's when you would be glassed over. Your eyes would be River Valley glassworked over your eyes.
You've keyed in on a thing that's actually true about me, and that is that I'm kind of an arcade guy. So I was raised on arcades. My dad owned arcades. When I think of games, and that includes board games, I think of, well, just put the quarter in and let's see what it does.
Yeah.
That's how my head works with this stuff. I'm very rarely like that guy that goes, lay it all out. Let's read. Let's look.
Right.
Let's do. Yeah. I'm bad at that. Not a fan.
I get that, though, because, no, I'm kind of the same thing of like, I'd like to get the basics from the instruction manual and then let's play the first round. It won't count or something. And let's just do it just so we can see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good way of learning. I mean, so if you look at all the different ways of teaching games, that is definitely in there with, give them the basics and go. And it's funny how people will lay out rule books that way sometimes, where they'll just give you, here's a quick start rule book. And once you're ready to learn more detailed stuff, kind of like, I mean, Jaws of the Lion did that for Frosthaven, I mean, for Gloomhaven, where you learn the game over playing it for five scenarios, and it's a piece of cake to learn.
Yeah. So
it's pretty cool that there's definitely there's definitely something to that, Brian.
I do like that. I like when a game puts in, it's almost like a tutorial, but it's still the game. Like, it still feels like you're playing the game, but you're playing. Video games do this all the time. Like, the first level is a tutorial, but you are playing. I like that. And when board games do that, Gloomhaven was really good at that. I like that. I'm a fan. Well, Dan, this is great. This is fantastic, and we love hearing from you. It'll be a month, but it'll be a quick month, and we look forward to having you back. May your son continue to get good grades and not flunk out of his cool hockey school in Canada. And we'll see you next time. I don't know why I said that. His cool hockey school.
His cool hockey school, yes.
I think it's just a school that has a good hockey program. I could be wrong. All right. Well, there's that. Quick note before we leave today. This is the day we try to do core games, and today's happening. So core play happening at noon. Me, John, Bo, although John's internet has been really crappy.
Oh, because he just did the move. Yeah. How's that all?
It's all good, except for the internet has been just shit. So it should be the same. It's the same ISP. It's 7 minutes away from where I used to live. There's no reason this shouldn't work. but he's been struggling. So I hope we see him today. If not, Bo and I for sure. But we're going to play at noon. I think we're going to try this new game called... Oh, crap. Here, I want to give the name because it seems rad. Oh, here it is. Raven's Watch. I played a bit last night. It is rad, and it's on sale right now. Really? Still in early access, but it's very cool. So we're going to try some co-op in that thing. It's on Steam, and see what we think of that. That'll be today at noon at frogpants.tv, Twitch, YouTube, Kick, all that stuff. So check it out. Other than that, Brian, you got anything else going on you want to mention?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be doing, so today is a afternoon where I stay home, do freelance, but I'm also going to do some more Millennium Falcon build today. So that stuff I put on YouTube and it stays up there in perpetuity. So if you can come check it out live, that's great. Just follow me at youtube.com/coverville. But if you want to check it out later, really it's more about listening to me lose tiny screws inside plastic pieces and bitch about it. That's really what it is.
Fun. That's you know what? Yeah. Everyone's always looking for a niche on YouTube. You found it.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I actually might also, during that same stream, airbrush Galactus's face. Oh. I have a test print that I'm going to be practicing Galactus's skin tones and stuff on. So if you want to see that, I'm moving the camera over to where I can do that. So
that's awesome. Yeah, very cool. All right, check it out. That is going to do it for today's program. Big thanks to everybody for listening. Go to frogpants.com/TMS for links to everything, including the aforementioned Viva TMS Vegas link, so you all can get your tickets and get all lined up for that. That is going to do it for today. Let's play a song on our way out the door.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one because I love this song anyway. This goes out to Tom Robinson. Tom, sorry again, catching up with emails. This would have been last week, but missing days and schedules and things like that. Tom says, hello, Scott and Brian. It's time for another spin around the planet. Woo. The last time I requested, I informed you guys I broke my fingers in my mom's passing. Remember, we saw the photos of his broken fingers, and then his mom passed away as well. Just not a great time.
No.
Since then, things haven't really improved, as my wife was in the hospital with interstitial lung disease, and I got laid off of my job after 27 years. Shit. Believe it or not, I'm in high spirits, enjoying life, and looking forward to another TMS Vegas. So we'll see him there. Dude, I need to buy you a drink when we see you.
Yeah.
For Brian, what popular musical act do you dislike to the point of avoiding? And for Scott, it's time to play a random film sack clip and guess the movie.
Film
sack. So I'll say I know everybody loves Red Hot Chili Peppers. I've said it before. Those guys, for me, are more style than substance. Mm-hmm. And anything Blood Sugar Sex Magic and Before I like, but anything since just feels so samey to me. So I tend to avoid the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Hmm. Scott, pick a random film set clip.
Here we go. That might have been too easy. So that's the Harry Potter dude, but he's not in this. I mean, this isn't a Harry Potter movie. We've never done one. That's that old guy. Caretaker and Harry Potter. What's the movie? It's Hot Fuzz. It's got to be Hot Fuzz. I think it's Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz. Okay. Yeah. You're talking about Filch, right?
Yeah. The Filch guy. And he played the hard to understand old guy up the road that they kept interviewing. And I think that was Hot Fuzz.
Yarp.
Let's see. We watched that in 2018. That sounds right.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I need to watch that again.
That movie is so good, dude.
It is. It's really, really good.
I think it's my favorite of that three movie deal they did. They basically call it the whatever trilogy,
the Cornetto,
that it,
the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah, I love that one. That one's so good. Anyway,
all right, well, let's get to Tom's song. He says, my pick, I get to choose the song. I'm picking this one right here because this was something new that somebody told me about, and when I found it, I just fell in love with it, and I want to listen to it over and over again. The band is called Christabel. And this is from their 2022 album, Midnight Star. It's a cover of the psychedelic Furs' Love My Way.
There's an army on the dance floor. It's a fashion with a gun. My love, in a room without a door, a kiss. must pay for laughing in their faces and making it our way. There's emptiness behind their eyes, there's dust in all their hearts. They just wanna steal us all and take us all apart, but not you. Love my way, it's you. I follow where my mind grew. Love my way, it's you. I follow where my mind
frogpants.com.
The Planet Man.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.